Great, thank you. My name's Duncan. Some of you I've not had the pleasure of meeting yet, but I'm part of the church family here at Life Church, and today I've just been asked to share a bit about the Christian faith and about the life that we have in Jesus. And I want to start by taking us back to the summer. Now ignore Storm Arwen outside with the snow falling down and come back with me to the summer that feels like a long time ago. I don't know where you were. When the ball comes in from the left-hand side, it bounces once and Luke Shaw strikes the ball on the half volley 2 minutes into the Euro final and everyone went wild. I was thinking it was coming home. As England take the lead against Italy in the Euros? I was saying it's coming home. And maybe you're going to look at me and you're going to be like, but Dunks, you're Scottish. And yes, that's true, but I'm also a glory hunter. And I thought England were going to win it, so there I was supporting them. But for me, that wasn't actually the standout point of the Euros. What struck me most was a game earlier on in the tournament. It was between Denmark and Finland, Saturday the 12th of June. Score was 0-0, and the ball goes out on the far touchline. So the Danish player runs over to take the throw in. He takes the throw in, and he throws it to his teammate Christian Eriksen, who turns around to run for the ball, and as he turns, he collapses and hits the floor. You may have watched it. It was painful. It was emotional to watch. The TV cameras, they stayed on, they were live, and it was awful to see. And in the very words of the Danish doctor, he was gone. And it left me considering, is this what life is really about? I suppose we saw it there in the video. Trying to find satisfaction, as Linvoy said, in life's achievements, in my sport, in my money, in my career, in my family. And then bang. One day it's over. And what I want to show you today is that Jesus says there is far more to life than life here and now on this earth. You see, believing in Jesus, it isn't a crutch just to have on your side. It's not a token thing on the side. It's about so much more than that. It's about life and death. See, the claim of the Christian life is about real life. Life beyond death. And today we're going to look at just that. For some, this could be really painful to hear. I appreciate that. But the reality is we all need to consider it. See, life beyond death, it sounds like an outrageous claim, doesn't it? It is an outrageous claim. There's life beyond death. For some, it sounds like nonsense. But you see, outrageous claims demand outrageous evidence. Go on. Best swimmer ever in history. Who is it? Michael Phelps. Massive claim. Best swimmer ever, Michael Phelps. What's the evidence? 23 Olympic gold medals. All right, next one. Best female singles tennis player ever, Serena Williams. It's another massive claim. 23 Grand Slams. You can't argue with that. All right. Worst penalty takers in the history of the Euros. I'm not going to tell you the evidence for it, but it's true. You see, they're all big claims that require big evidence. And it's hard to ignore those facts, those truths. And my question for you today, if you don't know Jesus personally, is what evidence do you require to believe in Jesus? For some, it might be physical proof of Jesus' existence. Others, it might be an end to suffering. Why can't COVID just end? Mutation after mutation. It might be, I want a personal encounter with God. I wish you could just bring back a loved one, restore a broken relationship that's hurting me to this very day. Or maybe you sit there and be like, tell you what, I want hardcore evidence that this is true. Perhaps you've even said to a mate, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to believe it until this happens. And it's our natural reaction. Even one of Jesus' followers said that, a man called Thomas. And that's the Bible story we're going to look at today. And he reacts similarly. He says, prove it. Prove it. Give me evidence that Jesus is alive. Prove it. You see, Thomas himself, he'd spent 3 years following Jesus. He'd seen his miracles. He'd seen it all happen. And then he sees Jesus get arrested. He sees him get hung on a cross. He sees him die. He sees him get placed in a tomb. Imagine how he felt. The man he followed is dead. He must be gutted. And not only that, he's disliked, he's hated because of following Jesus. And now there are these absolutely ridiculous rumors that 3 days later, the tomb's empty and that Jesus is alive. Outrageous! It's an outrageous claim. See, the Bible tells us that the disciples were locked in a room. And I don't know why, it doesn't tell us, but Thomas wasn't with them, okay? He wasn't with them. They were locked in a room when Jesus enters the room. You can imagine when Thomas got back, the reaction, can't you? He gets back and all the other disciples have run up to him and they said, oh, you've missed it! You've missed it! Jesus was in the room. We've seen the Lord, they said. We've seen Jesus. We've seen him alive. Imagine being Thomas in that moment. It's like going to a football match, isn't it? You're sitting in the seat and you're desperate for a pee. Desperate. And you're like, oh, do I go? Oh, flip, I'm just going to go to the toilet. And you go and you walk out and you hear the crowd roar and you miss the goal. It's infuriating. And here's Thomas. He'd be like, you're having a laugh. Maybe he said that. Maybe he said that. I've seen him dead on a cross. I've seen him put in a tomb. And now you're telling me that Jesus is alive. Nonsense. You're having me on. Trying to wind me up. You're trying to make me look like an idiot. And the disciples are saying, no, 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 Thomas. It's true. We saw him. Absolutely no chance. Look, this is what Thomas says. He says this. He said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands from where they nailed him to the cross and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, that's where they put the spear in to prove he was dead, I will not believe. Thomas says, until I see the evidence, I will not believe. And part of me's like, fair enough. It's completely rational, isn't it? Prove it. We need evidence that Jesus actually died and came back to life. But come with me one second. Just come with me. Imagine for one second that the extraordinary claim about Jesus is actually true. See, if Jesus appeared to the disciples in that room, then Jesus is alive. If Jesus is alive, then he is risen from the dead. And if Jesus has risen from the dead, you can't argue that that is massive news. You turn on your TV, BBC breaking news, scrolling across the screen. Man predicts his death and rises from the dead. It would be all over the newspapers. Ah, you can see it now. And if that's true, it changes everything we know. It changes the law of nature. That's out the window. Tell you what, that's long gone. A man's just defeated death. Everything would change. Death would no longer be the end. But it all hangs on this one word. If. If. If this extraordinary claim is true, well, there needs to be extraordinary evidence. It's as simple as that. See, back to the story of Thomas. A week later, look what happens. This is what he says. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hands, put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. We'd love that to be us, wouldn't we? Wouldn't you? If only, empirical evidence, proof with Jesus right in front of me. Oh, If only he would come into this room and show himself to me. If only he would do this in my life, and then I'd believe. Thomas had it easy, didn't he? He had it easy. He's seen Christ in physical form. He's put his fingers in his hands. He's put his hands in his side. And he's even seen Jesus alive. And Jesus responds to him, hey, stop doubting and believe. He's saying, look, here I am. Believe. I said I would. I said I'd die and 3 days later rise again. And not only did Jesus say that, he's backed it up. And what does Thomas say in response? He says, my Lord and my God. He responds to Jesus for who he truly is. He has faith and he turns to God and believes. And you see, we're called to do the same thing. We're told to turn back to Jesus, to recognize him for who he truly is, and to trust and believe. But I've got to be brutally honest with you. There's part of me that's slightly jealous of Thomas. He's demanded evidence, and he's seen it. He's received it, and of course he believes. He's touched Jesus, he's seen him, and yet we can't. Yet Jesus knew this. Even 2,000 years later, even now, as we sit in Brackley Town Football Club, Christ, Jesus knew this. And look how he responds. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. In those moments of existential crisis, what's my life all about? Should I be doing this? Why am I here? Am I just wasting my time? We doubt. And Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed. See, these aren't earthly blessings that can just disappear like that in a moment. In a collapse on a pitch, they're gone. A relationship, money, whatever it may be, a career. No, they're far, far greater. These are blessings. These are blessings that extend beyond life on this earth. This blessing is a perfect, loving relationship with God himself in a place of no more tear, pain, or suffering, in a place of joy, laughter, and peace. Forever. Forever. How? By looking at the evidence and believing the claims of Jesus. Do you see, I said it before, if the claims of Jesus are true, then Jesus has defeated death. You see, that's what Christians believe, that Jesus has defeated death. Hey, we search for life in all sorts of things, don't we? In sport, in career, in relationships. But let me tell you, real life is only found in Jesus Christ. Real life is only found in the very one who made us and designed us to be here today. And yet as we reject him, as we ignore him, we're rejecting the very one who gave us life itself. And we're facing death. Death and eternal punishment. Brutal. But I'm not going to cover up the reality. One out of one of us die. Like Erickson, we have no idea when it might be around the corner, when it might be coming. See, this is relevant for every single one of us in this room. But what we do know is this. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. See, God sent his one and only Son to die in our place. And Jesus has taken the punishment we deserve upon himself, and he's come back to life, proving that there is life beyond death. For all who trust and believe in Jesus Christ, here is an offer of real life now and forevermore. Death isn't the end. Death is not the end. This is an extraordinary claim. Yet the evidence, extraordinary evidence, backs it up. And you see all the evidence you need. You're like, where is it? It's all in here. all the evidence you need to trust and believe in Jesus is here. See, the story of Thomas in the Bible, it finishes with this. This is what the author John says. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So I plead with every single one of you in this room. Do not dismiss Jesus without looking at the evidence. Do not dismiss Jesus without looking at the evidence. See, life's like a football match. Come with me. Life is like a football match. It's 90 minutes long. Let's say every 10 minutes of that game is 10 years of our life. I wonder where you are in that match. Some of you, hey, you might be in the first 10 minutes, just fresh, legs are still feeling fresh. Others, you might be at halftime, midlife crisis, you've taken a pause, you're wondering where to go next. Others, you might be into the second half. Others, you might be well and truly into Fergie time at the end of the game. But ultimately, like Ericsson, we have no idea when our game is going to come to an end. And that's scary. We have no idea when our game is going to come to an end. You see, Jesus Christ offers us freedom from that fear in the form of life beyond death, in the form of life beyond the final whistle here on earth. Freedom. Freedom from that fear. And that life is on offer today for everyone who trusts and believes in Jesus Christ. So regardless of where you are in the match, 10 minutes in, 65, 70, 80, 25, here are two questions to finish. Are you willing to examine the evidence yourself? And secondly, if you have, are you willing to accept Jesus' offer of eternal life by trusting and believing in him? That's my plea. Please, please, please do not dismiss Jesus today without looking at the evidence. Thank you very much.